A good way to get people's attention is to show them something you brought with you to the pulpit. That's our key sentence for this podcast, and we welcome you to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, I asked you before we began taping what it was you had in that bag, and you said you'd show me later. Can I see it now, please?
Well, I'm going to stall it off a little while, and I want to read. This is Proverbs 13, and verse 22, the first part anyway. It says, "A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children." So my dad, who is with the Lord for some time now, he left things for his three children, my older brother, my younger sister, for me, is the middle child. And I got a neat gift from my dad, and I will eventually pass it on to my oldest son. It's a collection that my dad enjoyed, and he had probably 25 of these, I'm guessing, and they're paperweight. So you can picture it, and I don't even need to show you, do I? Have you ever seen a paperweight collection?
I have. As a matter of fact, I have an acquaintance who has a whole shelf in the dining room of his house. There's probably 8 shelves, and they're exactly the right size for paperweights. And I'll bet he has, I don't know, 60 or 70 paperweights.
Okay, so you already know what it is, so I don't need to show you.
Well, you keep saying that, but I want to know what's in the bag.
Okay, well, I got a paperweight in the bag.
Oh, okay.
And so you get an idea what they're like, but you really can't picture that thing until I open the bag for you, okay? So.
Right.
In fact, I got stopped at the airport coming to see you here because they saw this in the bag, I'm sure, when they x-rayed it. And the lady, in fact, she said, "When I open this, is anything going to poke me or jump out?" I said, "No, you don't have to worry." She said, "It's a paperweight." And she looked at it, and then I went on, and not a problem. But this is a beautiful paperweight, okay? Look at that.
Wow, that is exquisite.
That's really nice. Those are all, if you look on the bottom, they're all individual rods that have been fused together, and that's just one of about 25 of those I have, Dean. So that's when you ask about whether a man is giving an inheritance to his children, you know, that's a beautiful piece, isn't
it? It certainly is. That's gorgeous.
Yeah, this is its full lead crystal glass. It's very heavy. I have these in my office in a special case. As Randall, my oldest, has looked at them, which is part of what I'll pass on to him, I have things for the other kids as well. Yeah, it's one thing when you see it. Okay.
It's hard even to describe, but I want to, for those that are listening, it's a crystal paperweight. It's not completely round. They've smoothed off certain corners of it. And then mounted in the bottom of it are these colored rods. They're smaller in size than a pencil would be, and they're different colors. Mm-hmm. And the very tip of them is white. So it almost looks like some kind of a flower, but you can tell that it's not a flower. It's actually a mechanical design. It is really stunning.
Yeah, it's something. Now, I could tell you about it, but as soon as you look at all of us, wow, that's really something. Yeah, so I think what I've tried to do illustrate here as I put that down is that a lot of times we use words when actually letting people see what it is you're talking about is a whole different world all of a sudden. And I think that what we used to call this when we were in grade school, I really date myself, maybe they still do it, I don't know, they call it show and tell. And so everybody would come with a bag and they had a show and tell, and then you're dying to see what is in those bags. I think a lot of times ministers don't understand how powerful show and tell is. Now, it's conceivable that I could have just described this and taken, you know, 4 or 5 minutes to describe it, but if I just hold it up. Now, in a small group, that's fine, because I could pass it around. In some churches, if you have closed-circuit television, you can come in very close on it. When I was doing television, every television show I did, which was 5 a week, I would always have a show-and-tell somewhere in that television. There's a sense in which even the cameraman would say, "Oh, look at that." You know, it's kind of interesting. I feel that in terms of sermons, show and tell is a good thing. Ministers know that illustrations, if you've lost your congregation because they're just tired of listening to you talk, you tell a story. Then all of a sudden, you got them back again. A story is good, but show and tell is even better. And if you kind of hold it back a little while and build the anticipation, all of a sudden, that's really neat. Now, I will give you some ideas of different kinds of show and tell, okay? here's a passage of scripture first. This is out of the Psalms, and it's David. He says, "Keep me from the snares they have laid for me, from the traps set by evildoers." Now, that doesn't become visual until you bring a hunter's trap in, and you set the trap, and you say, "Now, this is what it looks like. Here's how you set it." And you pull those babies back, and it's set now. And if I put my hand in there, this is trouble, you know. So you get some other stick-like, and you bang, that snaps shut. All of a sudden, that scripture comes alive because people have seen a snare or a trap or whatever. And David is saying, don't let that happen to me, you know. But what brings it alive is the show and tell that you're working with. And my personal feeling is that there could be a whole lot of show and tells that ministers use. They just haven't thought about it for a while, okay? I got some illustrations, and maybe as I'm doing it, you can think, or someone listening to us can think of what some of these are like. But if I say, I still remember my wife's wedding dress. She still has that. In fact, I remember what she looked like when, and I could bring the wedding dress and I could hang it there so people could see it. It's gotten just a little bit, it's lost. It's not quite as white as it once was, but it's really neat to be able to say that. Or I hold in my hands a special Bible. This is my dad's Thompson Chain Reference Bible. And if you come in close with a camera, if you're in that kind of a setting, you look and you'll see the underlines in this. And when I open my dad's Bible, I see the notes that he made. So this is a very special Bible to me. Or I don't know if you've ever seen an ostrich egg. Ostrich is mentioned twice in the Bible. But I mean, you hold the ostrich egg up and that is one big egg, you know. And immediately you have people's attention. It won't hold it for 20 minutes, but it will all of a sudden focus people's minds. And I don't care who's thinking about something else in the audience, they are going to look at that ostrich egg because it's big, and then you go to the text that you want to use and so on. So that's an idea. I have on my desk at the office two small lions. They are probably about as big as my hand. They're metal. And those are lions that are on guard at the Forbidden Temple in Beijing. There are copies of them. And it's one thing for me to talk about those, but it's another thing for me to hold them up. And if you want to come up afterwards, you're more than welcome to look at them. I'll put them right down in the front. It's just a real attention getter if you go at it that way. Those are just thoughts that I've had, and I can think of a lot of them. The one that I think of most is that trap, because I actually did that on television. And when you hit that trap and it snaps shut, man, everybody jumps, and you just realize what David is talking about. Keep me away from that. But my feeling is, again, I would like it if people, as they prepare their sermons, would say, is there anything I could use by way of a visual, or if I make it even the childish thing, is there anything I could use by way of a show and tell that would grab the people's attention and make this something that they remember, and it's going to always stay with them? Like, if I go back to the trap, that trap will always be in people's minds if I do the sermon well. So I'm saying, this is what you need to avoid. Don't let that happen to you, because if it does happen, it is a tragic thing. And you'll remember it all your life. So
there's something to be said for the physical object as opposed to just projecting a photograph of an object, isn't there?
Yeah. Photographs, like looking at it in a book in a way, and you can project it up on the screen. Ministers, many, many ministers use projections of one kind or another, but it's not the same. It's not the same as actually having it. Or a lot of times, I think, you know, I've seen, and this happened recently in a small group when we were all in a circle, a person began with an object lesson and said, I'm going to pass it around. And it seems like that could be distracting, but it wasn't. And by the time it came to me, because of the way he wove his devotional together, that was very key in my mind. It would be just like passing this paperweight around. And so photograph is one thing, and I think it's better than just words. So if you're saying words, yes, words plus a photograph projected up on the screen, better. Better yet, something that they can actually see and hold. Yeah. That's a very good thing.
Yeah, there's something about tactile learning.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who learn best by actually touching, getting their hands on something, mm-hmm. and that would be very effective. And as you describe the trap, I can just see a congregation, the whole congregation, reacting to the snapping shut of mm-hmm. that trap, the force that it shows, and the clear indication that once that trap is closed, you're not getting out.
Yeah. The funny thing is, though, Dean, I've probably, I can't recall this last year ever once seeing a minister use a show and tell. I just can't remember anybody doing that. And I don't know why that is. So it does take long to understand what I'm saying, and maybe we've actually come to the end of what I want to say. Just put it in your mind that that's a good thing to do. It's a good thing to be able to help people grasp what you're saying. So that's the end of what I have to say.
Well, it's a good way to get people's attention. Mm-hmm. And that's our key sentence for this podcast. A good way to get people's attention is to show them something you brought with you into the pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
We're so glad you joined us for this SermonCoach.com podcast. You found it at our website, SermonCoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website. We have many resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.